Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Colossians 3:12 and 13. As Janie and I study what it means to judge according to Scripture, we find that we are commanded to investigate, distinguish, and examine situations and people. With the correct definition of judgment and the right context of judgment, we can discover how to judge with tender mercies. Well, Janie, let's start today with the verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Okay, now that word is going to be translated from the Greek as the anakrino.
That word's anakrino.
Okay. And that
all of those judge words? Because there's one, two, three judge words there.
Well, let's take them in context, because basically anakrino means to distinguish.
Okay.
To distinguish. So if we're starting out then in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he cannot distinguish what the spiritual man thinks, believes, and does, because he does not have the ability to distinguish. And then we say, why is that? But he who is spiritual can judge, distinguish all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now, that judge right there may have a bit of a different connotation, but what we're showing is that an unbeliever has to have the Spirit of living God indwelled in him to be able to distinguish, discern.
So if we can put the word distinguish in there,
yes,
then it's anakrino.
It would be anakrino.
Okay.
Yes.
And if we can put the word investigate in there, then it's diakrino.
Yes, you're probably limiting it to some degree, but that's a root place where you can start.
Okay.
And then sometimes you have to examine, sometimes you have to decide, sometimes you have to determine.
And if we can't figure it from that, then we can dig back into the Strong's and see if we can find it there.
Yes, because
that will give us a starting place.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So why the church right now is being accused of being extreme and biased and everything is because the natural man says, this is the standard that I live by in the world, and this is my final authority. And by the way, this is the world's way of thinking, which is foolishness to the world when they see how we are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like light and darkness, night and day. And so we should expect to be called many things because we are not agreeing with the world, but the world has already been condemned. And that's why we have the cross, because it's because of the cross that the world now can be set free from their condemnation to live a life in Jesus Christ.
Right.
But it takes the awakening of our being born again, and then the Spirit can minister to us. The unbeliever has a spirit. It's just not alive.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Because of sin and because of the
sin.
Garden of Eden.
Okay.
So, and that's one of the reasons that you have a lot of contention in the home. You may have teenagers that have never accepted Christ. You're setting a standard of life to them. They have not been awakened to that. They're in rebellion to you. And so a lot of times in the family, if Jesus Christ could be made Savior in that family, the family relations could be corrected, saved, and the family reunited.
Right.
But that's where the battles and the struggles come. But we then try to get outside therapy based on the world's standards mm-hmm. to take care of a spiritual eternal problem.
Right. Right.
And that's the frustration. So let's just maybe investigate one other word that has the anacrino as its base. And that is Paul was giving his life for the church at Corinth, and they were judging him. They were trying to distinguish what he was doing, whether it was right or wrong, whether it was extreme or conservative. And this is one place, and we don't have the time today, but this is one place that would be an excellent verse to jump off on, and that is to distinguish between an earthbound Christian having eternal life mm-hmm. and a heavenly-minded Christian that is understanding the gospel that Paul was here to proclaim. Paul was just not here to proclaim getting out of hell and into heaven. He was sent here to show us how we can be in Christ and be heavenly minded so we can be earthly good. When I was a young girl in the denomination that I was in, we had the saying that went around, if you are too heavenly minded, you're no earthly good.
I've heard that too.
Okay, then I'm going to do a Jude and be boldly discerning and tell you that's a lie.
Okay.
Because if you are not heavenly minded, understanding the things of the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has now made it known to us through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, then the best we can do is to think with a good morality or a good intent.
So we're no earthly good.
So you're no earthly good. In fact, it's very easy to lead someone else astray
right.
by being satisfied with your productions, your programs, a great musical ministry where everybody can get to feel good, although I'm not down on music ministries, as you know. I'm very pro that. But we can't substitute anything, Sharon. We cannot substitute anything for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christianity right. is Christ. All that he is, all that the Father has given him, and he is our final judge and authority. So we cannot let someone else determine our spirituality. And that's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 4:3. I don't judge myself. I don't distinguish whether I've got it all together or not. But I keep pressing for the mark to where Jesus Christ can be my all in all. And if you judge me, he said, it's really of no account because you're not my final authority. And if you cannot distinguish another form of judging, what I'm doing is unto Jesus Christ, then in layman's terms, it's probably, he said, it's no big deal to me right. because I don't even try to determine my own self, but I hold to the standard that the Scripture has given me to determine, investigate, distinguish, to see that what I'm doing is well-pleasing unto him. And the Lord's given all kinds of commands and edicts in the Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Peter, Jude, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, all of those things as to how we need to walk to be well-pleasing to him.
So it sounds like the Corinthians were maybe judging him based on their own standards
yes.
or their own ideas of things. And we have that a lot today, as we've talked in the past about the world judging us based on the worldly standards, and that we just don't meet up to that standard. And so therefore, we are going to be called names and ridiculed in many ways.
And I tell you what, if you want to find out how to do it wrong, but grace will still cover you, just read the book of 1 Corinthians. It starts out with division. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Silas. Well, I'm of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm of Peter
right,
or what
right.
have you, you know. And so from the very beginning, they were already creating divisions, which was a form of judging where they thought they were right.
Based on their own standard.
Yes, okay. and their own knowledge. And that was creating okay. division.
So the anacrino and the diacrino are all throughout our New Testament verses.
Absolutely.
So for us to be able to distinguish mm-hmm. which one is which is really important for us to understand the scripture verses so that we know how to stand when the world says, don't judge me.
Exactly.
Because I believe, as we've talked about, that we are cowering to the ways of the world because we don't know how to defend why we stand.
And there's one verse, and I can't quote right now to you, but we, in several places, it says that we are to judge. It's a command. We are to judge all things righteously.
Mm-hmm.
Righteously means right standing with God. So that would mean whatever the words of the Lord Jesus Christ says.
Right.
That's our standard. Paul was given the ministry to the Gentiles to bring about the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to make known to the entire church. So that's why I love hanging out in the Pauline epistles. That's not the only gospel as far as truth is concerned, but that is a unique instruction manual for us to see where to know how to walk. Don't let bitterness come up in you. Don't let anger go down at nighttime. Mm-hmm. Deal with it, okay? So there's just, if I can use the word, bukus of encouragement for us to go by. But if we are not students of the Word and just casual readers of the Word, we'll stay with misjudging the righteousness that we are told and commanded to live by.
Right. Well, I've noticed that it has become like a little saying, this don't judge me. I know with some of my daughter's friends, I hear them say it kind of like when we were kids, there was always this one little cool phrase that you would say just when anything is said or done that is abnormal or not within the norm of things. And it can be something just silly. And I will hear them say, hey, don't judge me. And they're just kind of playing around,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, don't judge me. But that has become, I think, from so much of the world saying, hey, don't judge me, that now it's become like a cool little phrase to ward off in a funny manner any kind of rejection or standing in truth, if it's a sin.
You have just, without recognizing, and I've been making some notes as you've just been talking the last few moments, you've just described a lifestyle. So let me back it back up, if I may, all right? The person who gets upset when they say, hey, don't judge me, has a problem with their identity, number one.
Okay.
They don't know who they are and where they have authority. Number two, well, if they don't have a strong identity of who they are in Christ, in truth, then guilt sets in.
Okay.
Guilt doesn't feel good. Guilt causes us to have a negative thinking with negative emotions, and then we're going to react negatively to what is our final authority. And at that particular point, it's our guilt.
Okay.
And so then we can't afford to have differing views. We can't afford to compare the truth with light, because that intimidates us, because we don't have our identity. And at the root of everything you've said and I've said is because we have a lack of understanding true love of God.
Right.
And when we don't understand the love of God, we don't have a strong identity. Now, we could probably do a schematic of a gerbil in a cage running around just using the words of identity, guilt, lack of love.
Yeah.
And you just described the lifestyle of most people living on planet Earth that claim to know Jesus Christ.
Wow. Just because of their sin, because of their inability to grasp who Jesus Christ is for who he really is and not who the world says he is.
That's true. And before we get somebody under too much guilt, that sin is a universal sin that we are all born into.
Right, exactly.
That was cemented at the Garden of Eden when we chose to then act upon our own self. And yet the precious, tender mercies of Jesus Christ is, he says, what you've just been taking the last 10 minutes to talk about, I took care of it full at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It cost me everything. It cost God his Son and everything. But you only have to accept what I have offered you, John 3:16. So, you know, we can talk about all these peripherals, but Sharon, it comes down to knowing Jesus Christ, accepting his forgiveness, being full of gratitude for that. And then our judging spirit goes away from false judging into the exhortation of the right judgment for restoration, reconciliation, forgiveness, so that we can grow in the grace of knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, is that too overwhelming?
Well, it makes sense. I don't think it's overwhelming. I think it's something that we either accept or reject. Either we will accept Jesus Christ for who he is, or we're going to reject Jesus Christ for who he is. And we can actually love the Lord and reject Jesus Christ for who he is,
yes.
I think, because we have a misconception of who he is, truly according to Scripture, because we're not, as you've said, students of the Word. We're casual readers of the Word.
Now, since you and I both have the gift of encouragement, let's throw a little encouragement in here. Okay. And that is, the Lord said, and we talked about this before, so we won't elaborate, but the Lord says he looks on the heart. He doesn't
right.
look on the external, okay? And so the weakest of saint that might look to us like just drowning in quicksand or staying in the flesh, the Lord looks at that heart, absolute. And if he sees that tiny seed that has been planted, Sharon, it may not sprout for quite some time. And yet I have seen, even as of this morning, I saw in certain things that happened, the tender mercies of God encouraging different children of his at different levels or stages in their growth.
Right.
Some of which you might think, well, I don't know that I would have given him that much space, but that's the tender mercies of God just drawing like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than being judgmental or critical of where that person's lack is, we need to concentrate on, Lord, is there a tiny little seed that I can encourage in the way that you want it to?
Right. So when is it wrong to judge?
Well, just what we said, outward appearances. You know, Samuel went to pick the next king out of Jesse's family, as the Lord had directed him to, and he started looking for another Saul, mighty man, good-looking, big, healthy man, and the Lord said, don't be too quick to look on the outside. And so evidently every natural feature was in the other brothers that Samuel looked at, but the Lord never gave his clearance. And Samuel was sensitive enough to the Lord's mindset that he finally said, don't you have anybody else? Because he knew he hadn't gotten the right guy yet.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we've got this kid out there watching some sheep. Well, get him in here, okay? And here's just a neat little side note. He did come in, David. He was anointed. And then what did he do? Did he get ready to take the throne? No. Okay. Oh, so I'm anointed. Okay. Well, I got some sheep to take care of out here. I'm going to go back and take care of the sheep.
Right.
He didn't all of a sudden get the big head. He didn't all of a sudden, I've got some great public ministry I'm going to go do. He just went back to doing what he was doing until it was God's time
right.
for him to then judge his people and become king and rule over. And we know he didn't always have a smooth path. So somebody sitting in a condemnation form of judgment on David after Bathsheba said, he's out. He's not going to be restored. But God's tender mercy kept
right.
looking at that heart and saying, he is a man of after my own heart in spite of his flesh patterns that we must deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And that should give encouragement to somebody today to say, I'm being judged, or I got a critical spirit of my spouse or my family or what have you, that God's got the timing down and those tender mercies. And Sharon, I don't know about you, but I want to be judged by his tender mercies.
Oh, me too.
Okay.
Me too.
And if we could just take one simple principle, anytime we want to be critical or even wounded about what somebody else is doing, let's just say, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and his guidance, for the glory of Father God, let me see that person the way Jesus Christ saw that person when he hung on the cross. Give me the eyes of Jesus on the cross. I lived in a nation that was a godless nation, all right? And the people of that nation were so irritating and even persecuting that I found my heart becoming hardened because they put me in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. They, because of their foolishness and the natural ways that they acted,
right,
it put my life in jeopardy. And Sharon, I can confess, I resented them because they didn't make my life easy. And I knew I was wrong, and I wasn't quite sure how to correct it until I asked the Lord to give me His eyes. And Sharon, I went from sitting in the back seat of a car being irritated at the people to having to take a box of Kleenex with me when I got in the car because my heart had so changed to wanting to love these people that were so lost. You cannot go wrong if you will ask Jesus to give you His eyes when He hung on the cross. And by the way, as He was dying, He was still reaching out to others, the thief on the cross, taking care of his eternity because He asked. He was also talking to John, take care of my mother. All right?
Right.
So I found that beautiful that in His dying, and the pain had to be without...
without words.
Thank you. He was still busy about His Father's business.
Right.
And if that should not be an exhortation to us to not have the wrong judging spirit, but the right judging spirit.
Yes. Well, you know, that really is a way for us to be able to live in this world and be a light to the world without hiding our light under the bushel.
That's right.
You know?
And another good exhortation, Sharon, because I know our clock is running down. I'd like to stop it at times and move it back about 5 minutes, but we can't. So let's don't judge prematurely. I have found more issues of hearing of a situation from one person and then hearing of that same situation from another person. But what changed was the sequence of actions.
Uh-huh.
So one person can give it to me from their perspective, and it could be truth to them. But then you get the other side of the story, as Paul Harvey said, and you think, is this the same event that I'm hearing? So to wait until all the facts are gathered, tested, verified, validated, before we come to a conclusion of any action that we may need to take or any thinking that we may need to change.
Right.
Don't do it prematurely.
And I think that's really important, if I can add, with our kids, because I think sometimes we're really quick to scold our children or discipline them in a harsh manner based on a little bit of facts.
Yes.
And if we'll wait and find out all the information, then we can make a better disciplinary decision with our children in the situations that they are facing today in the world.
Which will be, I want to say, magnanimous in preventing your child from getting a wounded spirit.
Right.
Because when a parent falsely accuses a child, even in innocence, but looking at the circumstances or the information that's been reported to you about your child, and the child knows that it's not that way or their heart was not that way,
right,
then the wounded spirit starts to build. And if that's not corrected by forgiveness, then those are the seeds that now start to build bitterness.
That reminded me, I just heard yesterday of a relationship that just completely broke apart based on the word of someone else about one of them. And that wasn't even true. And so there's so much that we just jump on the bandwagon with. And it's so important for us to take a step back and to distinguish and to investigate and to make sure that we are making the right judgment on people around us, the situations around us, so that we can be judging righteously.
Yes.
That's all the time we have for today, Janie.
Well, hopefully it's given a little clarification that there are appointed times when we are to have righteous judgment, and there are other times when we need to be forbearing and foreboding and to wait upon the Lord until He shows us how to respond.
Amen. All right. Well, this is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.